You guys did church without me last week, so that's okay. It's good for a couple of weeks. And it is good to have some guys that could come in and preach while I'm gone and do the things that that need to be done. And so went down south and was able to preach in a church down there, down in the Sellersburg area. So it was good to share, to preach there and also to share what we do here. And so their whole so what they're going to do for September, their whole, they do a missions offering every year for the full month of September. And this year, they're choosing us as the recipients of it. So, yeah, this is a pretty strong church. So, yeah, it's good. It is good. And also just, just a lot of good stuff with that. And even on the trip, we even got, so we stopped by, some of y'all remember Luke and Amy that was here for a minute. They moved south, so me and Carla visited them for about maybe two, three hours. And I didn't know where Carla and Amy went, and Amy took Carla in her dune buggy or whatever, and they were gone. And so anyway, they were out there in 70 plus acres, and then me and Luke just chatted, and they were just gone for a while. And so we got to talk a little bit, and he says, "Jimmy, I just can't get rid of this cow." And he said, "You guys have any needs?" I said, "This is what our needs are." And he said, "Well, let me talk to Amy." And then me and Carla got down the road. And I'm telling you, they live off the, I call it off the grid. My GPS wasn't working. And it's just crazy. I didn't know Indiana had roads like that. But it's great. So they're donating and they're processing a total cow for us at the end of the month for the meal ministry. And so that will be able to be, they're going to deliver that. He's even going to come up and deliver it. I said, we can come pick it up, but they're going to deliver it. I think they want to come up and hopefully can see us and see you guys. Hopefully we can get them here. But a great weekend last weekend. God just blessed that weekend. And so you guys were also blessed. New Life was also blessed with some baptisms. Awesome. So Chase and Crystal. Where are Chase and Crystal? Yes. Yes. And I look on my board, and now they are number 18 and 19. So, yes. Congratulations. Yes. That's when you know your church is getting stronger. You can just leave other people in charge, and things get done, and it does really well. So I appreciate everybody that's involved with that. So what a blessing that is to just see God work. And we'll talk more about that next week. But congratulations to you guys. To everyone that has been baptized this year, it's been really good. It's been really good. So I appreciate being able to go out and share and visit. We had a golf outing yesterday. That was a great piece. The golf outing was good. Thank you guys that was participated in that, and also did all the people that we don't see cook it and do all that, prep it, get all that. But everybody was happy, and we had a good event. Yeah, we had a good event with that. So we had 18 teams. So that was great. Yeah, it was good. It was good. Even Phil Marlowe played. Yes. Yeah. You don't know how to play golf until you lose more than you find. So anyway. So we're going to talk about a couple of things I want to do today. But first I want to work through this message today. Why Jesus came. Why did Jesus really come to earth? Why did he come to earth? And some people say, well, he just came to save. I'm going to share some things. I just put 10 pieces together. I'll go through them kind of quickly. But there's so much more than that. But I want to tell you, when Jesus came, man, he brought it all. God sent his best. And if God sends his best, then we get the best. I'm telling you, the world got the best that could ever eat. More than we could ever imagine what God sent. God sent his best, Jesus, to come here. Isn't that amazing? I want to share some scripture with you today. Number one of these reasons why Jesus came to earth, and what I love about it, almost all of these, Jesus, he's the one who says it. So if your Bible is in red, it will be in red. So Jesus says a lot about him coming and the purpose of him coming. So before we go there, I just want to pray. Father, Lord, I just ask, as your Spirit, Lord, we know that your Spirit is here with us today. Not because we feel you or we think we have to feel you, but because your word says where two or three are gathered together, you're there. Lord, we can take your word there and just claim that and know that the truth of it is, the power of it is, that you are here. So we know that you're here. I pray, Father, that we would also put ourselves here, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually, that we might know and have hear from you today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here that one of the first pieces I want to share is in Mark chapter 2, verse 17. You're not going to catch all these. You might want to, if you like to go over what we talked about, preached about, you're going to have to write them down because I'm going to flutter through like 10 of these. So Jesus came into the world, first reason, to call sinners to repentance. Okay? Mark chapter 2, 17 says, when Jesus heard this, he told them, it is not those who are well who need a doctor, but those who are sick. I didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Jesus came to call sinners. He came to call sinners to repentance. We need to repent. I don't know why it is that people today in Christian world think, and Christians and just people think that we can just get it all right without repenting. You can't get close to God until you repent. You need to repent of your lifestyle, of the sins that you commit, and begin that new step with Christ. And if you're a believer, when we sin, because we still have these moments when we sin, we still need to repent. Don't be bullheaded. Don't be filled up with pride. You mess up, admit it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Number two, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Okay, not just to call sinners to repentance, but he came in to save the sinners. Amen for that, right? 1 Timothy 1:15 says this. Paul is writing to Timothy. He says this. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul says, and I am the worst of them. So here we see that Jesus didn't call just sinners to repent, but he also called to save sinners. He's the only one that can do it. Amen? Jesus is the only one that can save your life. There's nothing else. Why in the world is it that the world is trying to persecute Jesus, the names of Jesus? They've tried to persecute the Bible and the church that Jesus built. Satan tries to persecute it. The world tries to persecute it and is persecuting it. But they don't do any other, they don't do any religions. They don't do anything or anything else. Only that one. Because why would Satan go after what he knows is false? Why would he go after his own? It is Christ the one that he wants to attack, and he does that. And then we see number three, Jesus also came into the world to seek and save the lost. So Jesus really had a mission here. In Luke 19, verse 10, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek. We miss that a lot. Seek and to save the lost. You know, we're always talking about people searching for the Lord. We know the Lord also searches. He seeks people. He seeks lost people. And I just want to let you know, he knows exactly where everyone is. But when he says seek, he seeks. He's seeking lost people. And what he is, he's working. He's working. His Holy Spirit is working. And there's things that are in play that we don't always understand when it comes. And we're like, how come they not come to Christ? I keep praying. I fasted for my family member, for my friend, for my parents. I've been praying for them, and they're just not connecting. It seems like it's not connecting. Listen, you don't give up. You just keep praying. You keep praying. Jesus is seeking to save the lost. Number four, Jesus came into the world to do the will of his Father. He didn't come in to do his own thing. Okay? If you really want to have church right, you come in and do what God wants you to do, not what you want to do. And you come in here, and he comes in. Jesus says he comes into the world to do the will of the Father. Here's what he says in John 6. Verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So Jesus said, I didn't come down here to do my own will, my own purposes. I come down here to do really what my Father sent me to do. Wow. It works that way. So he really wants to do the will of the Father, the will of God. How much less conflict would we have in our life if we would just try to follow the will of the Lord? How much less problems we would have if we let God be God, who we say he is, and we claim it, but let him really be God of our life. Number five, Jesus came into the world that men might have an abundant life. The Lord wants you to have an abundant life. Now, some preachers will come in and tell you, hey, you know what that is? That's money and that's prosperity. No, it's not. You know what you can't buy? You can go out and work and get more money, but you know some things you can't buy? You can't buy peace. You can't buy inner peace. You can't buy inner peace no matter how hard you work for it. You cannot buy inner peace. You can't buy forgiveness. You can't buy a pure heart. You can't do those things. But God, through Christ, gives us an abundant life. John 10:10 is a famous one. A thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And we know who the thief is. It is Satan. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his game plan. But Jesus says, I have come so that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So we can live on this ball of mud. We can live on this earth. But with Jesus Christ, life is more abundant. Let me ask you a simple question. Without Jesus right now, where would you be? What would you be doing in your life right now? We wouldn't be here. We'd be sleeping in, doing our thing, sleeping off whatever we did on Friday night, Saturday night, whatever it may be. But what is it? Without Jesus, we wouldn't even be here. Amen? But Jesus gives us an abundant life. Let me ask you this. How many of y'all just... Let me get to the point. Without Jesus, I'll tell you what, I couldn't love Carla more. I can love Carla with all I am, but here's what I say. With Jesus, I can love her more. I can love her better. I can love her in ways that I never thought I could love her. And so God has given us that way to love and to work through and to go through all these things. He gives us abundant life. Jesus gives us abundant life. But remember, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. His ultimate goal is to see a person not come to Christ, but live their life the way they want. Doesn't matter how, as long as they spin and get separated from God. And then number 6, Jesus came into the world to preach the good news about the kingdom of God. There is a kingdom of God. Amen? There is a kingdom that's bigger. There is a church that's bigger than this church here. It is the church. But Mark chapter 1, verse 38, Jesus says, and he said to them, let's go on to the neighboring villages so that I may preach there too. This is why I have come. And so what we see here, actually, if you were here on Wednesday night, this is the piece that comes after what I preached on Wednesday night. All the things that Jesus did, casting out the demon, healing the Peter's mother-in-law and doing those things. This is the very next day. And so Jesus says, we got to go. What do we got to do? He says, let's go on to the neighboring village so that I may preach there too. So Jesus is about getting out there preaching the good news. What is the good news? Hope has come to the world. Hope has come to a lost and dying world, and it is Jesus. And we see here. And number 7, another reason why Jesus came into the world, Jesus, and this is probably the hardest one of all, but I'll explain it to you. Jesus came into the world to divide people. Now, Bible says that, you know, God is not the author of division, those kind of things. But here it is. Matthew 10, verse 34 and 35 says, Jesus says, don't assume that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to turn a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now that sounds really difficult, don't it? How many of y'all know when you first read that, you're like, what the world is God talking about? What is Jesus talking about? Yeah, thank you for your honesty. Yeah, here's what it is. When Jesus comes in and begins to preach that gospel, that word just goes right in and starts to divide the family. It divides. Why does it divide? Because the Holy Spirit is working on them. One person could be saying the Holy Spirit's really working on them, and they begin to open up and receive what God is speaking to them, listening. And the other one has got the walls up, saying, "I don't want to listen to that. I like my lifestyle. I don't want to go to God. I don't care. I don't believe in all this stuff." Then there's one that is, and so the penetrating word of God cuts through just like a sword and divides. And this is why some of your family members don't want to know Christ. They don't care. They're running around. But yet others in your family know Christ, love Jesus, attend church, letting Jesus lead their life. And there's a division there. And here it is. He come. Without Jesus coming, then there is no division. All is lost. But because the saving power of Christ that comes down and divide, this is why you have a hard time. When you want to invite your family members to church, they don't want to. There's a division there. But here it is. I want to remind you that prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. We need to keep praying that God will bring down those walls. So he came down to divide people. And really the division was more of that many would come to Christ. But there is a dividing part of that. If you have any more questions on that later, you can ask me after church or email me or text me on that, because I can explain to it a little bit more if you didn't get that. Number eight, Jesus came as a demonstration of God's love. God just didn't send Jesus. He sent Jesus. It's the proof of love. It's the gift of love to give your best, to give your one and only son. He gave his best. People say, well, if I could just see God move, if I could just see Jesus. Listen, God has already moved so many times. And this is the biggest move that God has done, the biggest gift. 1 John 4:10 says this, love consists in this. He said, this is what love is. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So all the stuff that we talked about at the very beginning, for the repentance, to save sinners, it all comes at a cost. And God knew it was going to come at a cost. So he said, listen, his love sent Jesus to be that cost. That's what he did. And I'm hoping today that you have Christ in your life, that you have that salvation, that you know for sure that you do. Number nine, Jesus came into the world to die on the cross. He came to the world to die, to be a living sacrifice. He came to the world to die. Could you imagine yourself, your mission is to die? Part of it is to die, the end piece. But we know that that wasn't the end piece, but he did come to die. John 12:27 says, now my soul is troubled. Jesus says, my soul is troubled. He's coming toward that peace. He says, man, my soul is troubled. That's your inner part. You ever, your soul ever been out of whack? Ever been distressed? That's not just the mind. That's just not the heart. It's all of it together. That's your whole being. That's your centerpiece. That's your center mass. And you're kind of in a hot mess. You're struggling. And Jesus is struggling here. Let me just tell you, it's not a sin to struggle. It's not a sin to have a bad day. It's not a sin to say, I get so tired about, people would say, hey, if you have Christ, you can't have a bad day. If you have Christ, you just say Jesus in the name of it. Listen, we live in a world that is torn with sin. We live in a world that's really just really messy. And sometimes we just have those moments. And Jesus says, now my soul is troubled. What should I say? He says, Father, save me from this hour. He says, but that's why I came to this hour. This is why I came. To die upon that cross as atoning sacrifice. So those that are seek to save can actually be saved. Don't take your salvation for granted, folks. Don't take your salvation for granted. Number 10. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Wow. 1 John 3:8 says this, the one who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose. The Son of God, that's Jesus, was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the devil's works. The devil's been up to a lot. He does a lot. He does a lot of damage. He's done a lot of damage in your life in the past. But thank God that we can seek and we can ask for forgiveness of our sins. Amen? That he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Whatever Satan does, God can take care of it. And he takes care of it through Jesus Christ if you let Jesus be Jesus. So it's not hard. It's not bad to have a hard day. It's not wrong to have hard days. We just know who we are in Christ. But Jesus Christ come to this earth more than what we really think that he's come for. He's come for a lot. And if we just zero down that big old circle and we bring it down a little bit more, you know what he did? He came for you. He came for you. Probably could imagine that if you were the only one here, he would still came for you. And if you have salvation today, you can say, I claim, I got that. He came for me, and now I'm here for him. And I got him, and he's got me. And you're in his hand. And no one can pluck you out of the Father's hand. He got you tight. And when you want to let go, he still got you. It's a few times. in your life and in my own life, where it seems like we slip sometimes, but He is always there. God is always there. And He's there through Christ and His Holy Spirit. Those are 10 reasons why Jesus came. Those are 10 reasons why Jesus came. I'm going to come back to that in a few minutes. Father, Lord, we thank You, Lord, for this moment. Just knowing that You just shared today, just through Your Word, all through the New Testament, and there's even scriptures in the Old Testament, that state there are reasons why You came. And in the end of all of them, it just seems like that we're the focus. We are the focus. We're the focus. I pray, Father, that we would put our focus back on You. I pray, Father, that we would put our focus on You, Jesus. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So what I want to do is I want to click down here for a minute. So I wanted to divide the time that I have this morning with you. And I'm not playing on my phone, I promise. My grandkids found out this morning I don't play games on my phone anyway. I just have a couple of notes. I can find them. There they are. So we'll have an altar call in a minute. So hopefully that you just, whatever the Lord is stirring on you, just hold that there. I just want to share a couple of things with you today. We've been doing this for 20-some years now, and I want to make sure that we understand and know that through these 20 years, we've seen a lot of changes. But I have a feeling that we're getting ready to have a lot more changes than we even have had in the past, and it's going to come in like a wave. It's a lot of things. I just want to share just the time that I have here. So we're going to have this thing next week where we do this prayer and fasting. And one of those things we'll talk about is the church growth. And so, folks, really, our summer months right now are higher than our average month. Our high months are usually January to May. That's when our numbers are really high. And right now, even with last year, our numbers in the summer months are beating our higher years in the past. So we are growing there. So that means new faces are coming in, and hopefully you're getting to know. And I know I see a lot of you guys talking to a lot of different people here. So I want to share with some things, that some of the changes that are happening, and you just need to be aware of that. So one of the things is we are looking, you guys know we did the ceiling. That's great. That's an awesome piece. It looks good. There's still a lot more to do here. With all these buildings being over 100 years old, they're just always falling apart. We're trying to do the best we can. But I want to share with a few of these changes that we're going to have that I just see coming. I want you to be ready for them because, let me tell you, if you're looking for your way, it's not going to work. If you're looking to see what you want to see and you're just wanting to come for what you want, I promise you it's not going to work because it's not working for me either. There's things that I see changing. I'm like, ugh. But you know what? It's not about me. It's about what the Lord wants, and it's about the city of Huntington. It's not just about us. I still think there's lost people out there that need Jesus Christ. I do. And on a side note, you know, there's some good churches out here in Huntington, but I also know that there's some churches that really, I'm just one of the few that have good connections with a lot of pastors outside of denomination pastors. And there's some churches here that just really beat up their pastors. They really do. They chase their pastors out. And I know some of them are going through that right now. And I know at least two right now. But I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be your pastor and working with me. You may not always agree with me, but we work through it. Hopefully that we can work through that. Any decisions that I make, let me just tell you, I don't make them on the fly. I spend time with the Lord, either here in the car or wherever, just praying about things. So some of the changes that are going to happen, number one is our church is growing. It's just growing. We're going to have to make room for more people. We're going to have to make room. And making room means different things. Our seating is probably going to change. I know our seating is going to change. These pews, I know it's traditional. It looks great with the aesthetics of the church and everything. But the seating is changing. We put a lot of work into finding out what pews cost to restore. Pews cost to restore just too much money. to take them out. They said they're too hard, or they're too brittle. They'll break when you put them in the semi because they'd have to go somewhere. With the seating, we looked at new pews, brand new pews, was with the end caps and everything, was about $75,000, I think, with the end caps. Folks, we just don't have that money for new pews. And then the same thing with we looked at theater seating, was about $55,000, and so we looked at that. And then we're going to need a new carpet. There's a lot of states carpet's been here since we've been here, and I'm pretty sure it's been here for the last four churches. So yeah. So anyway, the seating's going to change. So we'll be getting some theater seating from North Carolina. I've got a good deal, but I know people like pews, but we're still going to have some pews running off the backside. But we're going to also reupholster those pews back there with a different color, and we're going to try to go through here and find some good ones, because just a couple of years ago, right here where Bob sits, there was a pew right there, and right before service, or it was during service, I can't remember, during service? Yeah, it just broke right down. And I would hate for that to happen on anybody else again. And that bothered me for a long time. It never stopped being in my brain about it. So it's there. So I'm just saying, in the end, we'll have theater seating up in here. But in the last rows, we're hoping to have pews. And also on the back walls, hopefully have pews there. So that's going to look different. And if that's the reason you want to leave, I hope it's not, because we're more about what Jesus wants us to do. But people have left for lesser reasons. They really have. Because if you leave for something like that or these changes, let me just tell you, you'll go somewhere else and you'll leave there for something too. So the seating is going to change. And I just tell you, we couldn't change the color. They just come with the color. They're back. They've got a sample one back there. And with these seats, you know, North Carolina was selling them for $50 a piece. And I tried to squander, be real tight with the Lord's money, and I got them down to $36. Yeah. So we're going to talk more about the seating thing next week a little bit, but it's coming. All this stuff is coming faster. We saw it coming over the horizon, but you know, if you keep going, you're going to get there. You're going to get to the horizon sometime, and so that's happening. So I'm really praying that this is going to work out. God moved in so much of this already, but I'll share a little more later. But with the church growing, our parking also is an issue. Yeah, parking's an issue. So we have like 10 spots over here. That's it. 10 spots. We moved our church car over here. And so basically we have 10 spots. I didn't bring down the paper, but anyway, we have around the street here. And we have across, but we have the parking lot across the street from the church too. I don't know. Everybody know we have the old church across the street? There's parking over there. So if you can't find parking, you can park over there. And but that's starting to get more cars over there too. We are no way near this, but here's what I do not want to go to two services. Ever. Also, I should take that back. I don't really want to go to two services. I'd like to fill up everybody in one. But if the Lord does amazing things, so be it. But if we can get everybody here on one service, that's what I would like to do. So anyway, but we'll just do what the Lord wants. But right now, I just want to share our parking. We do have some parking issues. So make sure if you're parking up here in the street that you do pull up a little bit. If you don't want nobody parking that part, just and you got a nice ride, you can park it somewhere else down the street. There's a lot of spots. And I am going to be talking to the museum, and I'm going to be talking to Pizza Junction about parking. I'm going to talk to them as well. If somebody knows them better than I do, meet me after church, and I'll let you do that. We have a meeting, a visit. We have a New Life New Life Ministries board meeting tomorrow night, and we're going to be talking about the use of that old building across the street. You guys seen that some brickwork is done on it. Some things got a little slow. We had some major bumps, but we're going to be talking about what's going to happen with that new building across the street. That's a really cool thing. It really is. It's a new life center. It's called Life Center. Amazing. God has continued to give us that. Another thing that is changing is Phil and Ashley are going to be having a baby, and they're going to be moving along with this new church plant. And we see them every week, but there's going to be a time when we're not going to see them. And then We're really not going to see, and then we're really not going to see them. And they're going to be doing what God has called them to do. And we're going to be part of the sponsoring that church as the mom, as a kind of the sending church. And so that leaves with music. You guys, some people have asked me, why do we have all this these music instruments up here? Well, we're trying to do something. The guys are trying to put something together. Be patient with that. Pray about that. Be working. That's going to be a change. Folks, that's going to be a change. And people are going to say, and I've heard it way back when we moved from over there to over here, I heard someone say, this church just doesn't seem to be like my church anymore. It doesn't feel like my old church. Well, it's not going to feel like, we can say that it's our church, but we need to remember whose it really is. Okay? So, and also that comes with the growth. There's so many people here at the church. So we are going to be looking, and the whole music thing is being worked over, and we need to pray about that. We don't have the answers for all these. We need to continue to pray that God is going to do something with that, because that has been on our prayer and fasting list for a couple of years, and we have not gotten where we need to be on that. So, but God has a time frame, and I'm like, Lord, we're going to move this up, but He knows better than I do. And there's also some positions. So there's also, we have to fill some spots in the church. There's spots in the church that we have to fill. And we always need nursery workers. We always need nursery workers. We need those. We have this fusion group that we need to, 18 to 25 is one of my cream of the crop groups that I really love. And I want to see that group keep going. And so with that and some other positions and things, and you'll see new faces and things like, Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy. Jeremy's new here, and he's already in the sound booth, so I appreciate that. So we got, new people doing new things and things that we just need to hand off. And so with that, there's just a lot of changes. It really is. There's a lot of changes. And you may not know everything that's going on, or you see something that looks different, looks weird, looks odd. We're just morphing. We're changing again. And like I said, this is probably going to be some of the biggest changes that we've had. But I want to just remind you, we're still going to love Jesus. This is all about Jesus anyway. We're going to praise Him. We're going to sing to Him. Songs may change. People may mess up, whatever. I still mess up here doing, we fumble through words or whatever. We just need to be the church that God wants us to be, with open arms to those that are lost. Continue to receive those in the community that are willing to come and step forward. And I just need you to be in agreement that you're just going to be who God wants you to be and who He is leading you to be, not who you think you want to be. And anytime you let God be God, let me tell you, then you see God things happen. But changes are going to happen. And I know it feels weird, but changes are going to happen. Another thing with seating is what I really, really think is awesome. So many of you guys move around in different places, and it's great. Sometimes you're sitting over here and you move over here because, listen, nobody has their own seat, right? Nobody has it. And so, actually, I was a guest speaker at a church before, and somebody said, I sit there. I said, oh, okay. Are you visiting? I said, yeah, I'm visiting. And then the next thing he saw me preaching, I'm nobody, but it's just what somebody put their foot in their mouth. I said, that's my seat. Well, you know what? If somebody's coming into the church and wants to sit where I sit, I don't care. I can move. And I know you guys can do that too. I hope you're still loving New Life, but I hope you love Jesus more. I want you to keep doing what you got to be doing. And just, let's not stop praying, because we got some things we need to pray for. We really do. So we're going to go ahead and stand. And with the time left here this morning, I do want to open up the altar. Whether it's something